So when I got yoked up with dudes or relationships from that area, I kind of committed, and I was going there once a month for, I would say, a entrepreneurial slash, it just happened to be a bunch of entrepreneurs, but it was a spiritual revival, freaking man's club, call it what you want. But when I got done with it, man, I made a list of, like, if I would have sent out thank you cards or something like that, what relationships have I built because of getting rooted in this town, this Frisco, Plano area is just, man, it's abundance mindset. It's freaking grinders. It's growers. It's people who want to move and shake. And, you know, I'm in an area where that's uncommon. And so I made a list of like 75 relationships. And at somebody 40 plus years old, I don't know that I've had 75 relationships in my entire life that were real relationships with like-minded people. And so doesn't matter where they came from. One of the most powerful, I guess, nuggets I've got from that is some people in your life for a reason, some for a season, some for a lifetime. And so I didn't know what that meant at first. And so now I'm kind of living that out, because you think you know up front. You don't, man. You got to vet that relationship. You got to sow into it, figure out if you're hanging out with pursuers, or if you're the pursuer. And, you know, powerful relationships, like you and I don't need to spend a bunch of time together. I know we're cut from the same cloth. So I value you, man. I love the fact that I open up a Generac page, which I'm in the home Generac space, and another business owner has a screenshot of your stuff. And I'm like, I got it. I'm like, I know this guy. Like, he's my dude. Like, this is the language we speak around my office. The only thing we don't have is the word damn, but we got call the lead signs everywhere. And so it's like, man, I love that. You know, it was cool to kind of to have my worlds collide, and I shared that with you, and it was pretty awesome.
I appreciate that, man. And I'm trying to get I have a 110-pound Cane Corso who thinks she's a lap dog out here. And so I'm going to go right into it, man. I, first of all, received those words and that compliment. Like, it means the world to me that you would see something like that and feel called to want to engage with it and tell people, like, yo, that's my friend. That's someone I consider, like, a friend. And to me, that's one of the most powerful parts about branding in general is, and I steal this quote from Jeff Bezos, but your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. And before we hit record on this, you said, hey, man, I've been in a room that you're no longer a part of, and people still talk very, very highly of you, even with some shade that's been thrown your way. But, like, understand that level of respect is there, and that means the world to me. And it's another reason why I'm so grateful that I'm connected to you, because as you said, man, when you go on that journey and you make the decision to say, hey, I'm going to be a new, improved, better version of me as a man, husband, father, leader, whatever it is that you're deciding to do in your life, it's insane how you lose a lot of those relationships, but the ones that you start to develop, there's a different level of connection. And what I mean by that is it's those folks that you can not see or speak to for weeks or months on end. But the moment you sit down at a table together and you start breaking bread, it's like, cool. Just like old times, right back into it. I already know what you're going through because, as you said, we're cut from the same cloth. So what I've been experiencing is likely similar to what you're experiencing. Just because we operate in a similar fashion, we decide to work and run our lives with a similar mindset. And it's always so fun to me because it's usually one of us has done something that we like, the other was struggling with, and we figured it out, so we're excited to share that. And the other one's going, well, dude, you're never going to believe it, but I figured out this other thing that you were trying to figure out, and you get to come together and just go, well, shit, man, this is why we love each other, why we have this respect, because we're able to know when we're not in the room, we're still highly speaking of the other individual, and also when we do get in the room together, we're going to have some real conversations which is what I'm excited about for today's call, because I know we're going to get into some real stuff today. So I just want to thank you for myself personally, and, you know, the listeners who are here with us spending this time. I mean, time's your most valuable asset. So if you're going to spend a little bit invested with us here today, man, we're going to do our best to make sure you get something out of it. But I'm just going to tell you how grateful I am from the start.
Welcome again to the Primeval Podcast, where we ignite the engine of your success in faith, family, finance, and fitness. Join us as we explore the power of being a prime mover in both your professional and personal life. Hey, everybody, that was different. That was a little prequel to what we're about to bring. Welcome to the Prime Mover Podcast, where we ignite the engine of your success through faith, family, finance, and fitness. Today, I'm super stoked to bring in a very special guest who was slated to be on the podcast tomorrow. And through the holidays, we kind of slid him in. And you know what? One DM, I said, hey, Drew, can you get on today? Call the Damn Leads is something that we are speaking in our office every single day right now. And I got to get you on. And it took the dude 10 seconds to say, I'm about it. Let's roll. 2 p.m. So here we are. You heard our show format. You heard our intro. Drewby's big on relationships. I'm big on relationships. And I'm going to start off with explaining to maybe some of the audience that Drewby brings in, why are we called Prime Mover Podcast? Well, you know, I'm in the generator space. That's a prime mover. When I like to explain to people that, you know, when you go out into the middle of the forest, or Drewby's from Plano, Texas, or lives in Plano now, when Plano was founded, you know what? It was just trees and dirt. And the first piece of equipment that shows up there and kind of gets the party started is that big bulldozer, pumps, generators, power. We're going to knock down some trees. We're going to do some dirt work. We're going to get some elevation going. That's a prime mover. So in life, a prime mover can show up as the thermostat, the guy who shows up and gets the ball rolling, who rolls up his sleeves and gets the job done. Get out of my way. I'm not waiting on anybody. I am a freaking prime mover. So absolutely, beyond the shadow of a doubt, this dude defines prime mover. You can read his hat. You can go to his website. Well, I'll add in the show notes how to get in touch with him. But his mantra is call the damn leads. And I believe if you apply that process to almost every area of your life, which means follow up, don't wait on life to come to you, go get life, you live in a prime mover lifestyle. So welcome, Drewby Wilson, to the PMP, baby.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, man, I wasn't sure exactly what the show meant, but yeah. I'm so grateful for that explanation, because that to me is some serious stuff. Being a prime mover, it's what changed my life. Like, I had to make that shift in my own life to make that decision to be, hey, I'm going to be the first one on the scene. I'm going to be the first one taking action. I'm going to be putting in the work, because without that, nothing else can be built. That's the thing that so many people forget. They come in, and I'm speaking from personal experience here, and this is for maybe, you know, the sales guys that are working within a business. You forget that there was someone who had to set the foundation, who had to be that prime mover from the get-go. And that could be in your professional life. Hell, man, it could be in your personal life. You might be the prime mover in your bloodline. You might be the one that makes the decision and be like, no, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be first. I'm going to be the one that changes the direction and changes the legacy of our family, because I'm going to be the prime mover. I'm going to be the one that fills everyone else with energy and gets them what they need to go and do what they do best. Because, again, none of us are self-made. And I know that you're going to reflect on this. It's like, hey, man, I couldn't do what I do without all the people around me. For us, it's our wife, it's our kid, it's the people in our, you know, our immediate circle. Those are our prime movers. Those are the ones that generate our power. And that's the thing that when you're in business or in life, we sometimes forget that someone had to lay that foundation to get us to where we are, to make it so much easier on us. And there's a quote out there that I don't know it exactly, but it's like, hard times create strong men, strong men create easy times create weak men. And it does, it's a cycle, right? Like, I butchered that somewhere, but the point is that it's the principle of it, man. And that's one of the things, again, why I'm so excited to be here, because I know if we get one person who listens to this show today and they decide they're going to be the prime mover in their life and in their circle, then we've done exactly what we came here to do, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. I had somebody ask me one time, invited him to be on the podcast, and I don't know, we probably started it. I got Nick here with me. I know you can't see him on the Riverside camera, but he's my partner in Prime Mover, and we built a marketing company together as well. But when we started to do this, it was like, hey, man, I'm going to speak to Captain Consistency right here, Drewby. But I was like, you know what? I don't feel right now. I posted something on my social media today. Like, the word guru is getting thrown around right now in the coaching world, like, super irresponsibly. Like, is do you think Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, you know, even some current people, Mike McDaniel, these are pro coaches. They're not known for what they did on the field. Like, you don't have to be a billion-dollar CEO to give business advice, because I'm here to help one person with one nugget. Like, I don't have to monetize every single verb that comes out of my mouth, every single syllable that comes out of my mouth. So I think to each his own with the whole guru space, you know, and I'm all that to say, you have an area of expertise that I want to talk about, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But before we even get to that point, you know what? I missed where I was going with that. Somebody walked by. What I want to say was, somebody asked me, how many subscribers do you have on your podcast before I come on? And I'm like, I don't know, 50? Who cares? You know, if I get, I just started it. Maybe you could come on and help grow it. But if that's what you're worried about, probably we're not equally yoked, because I'm looking to help one person. Because I know when I started listening to podcasts, it didn't matter if it was Alex Hormozy or Ed Milet or Drewby or somebody like me. There was something of value. So I know that there's going to be a ton of value packed in this, because I go back and listen to our episodes, and I got regular dudes, man. I got a guy from Iowa that owns a couple Smoothie Kings that will blow your mind if you listen to that podcast. And I've had deep, dark conversations with that guy on money issues, marital issues. He's not a nine-figure CEO, but he's ahead of somebody. And if you can gain knowledge, wisdom, a nugget from somebody who's one step ahead of you, man, that's attainable excellence. And I think that's the audience that I'm looking to inspire, somebody who wants attainable excellence. So before we talk about what you do, I want you to tell the audience who you are, man. I don't know if you have a personal mission statement. Talk about your little dude and your wife, and tell the world about the RV strategy, and, you know, kind of open up about who Drewby is and where you came from.
Man, I appreciate that. And I could take your whole day and tell you my whole story. I'll tell the listener, if you really want to go deep, I'm going to give you some great stuff today to kind of context where all of this came from. But I've written 4 books at this point. 3 of them are my most powerful. One of them is very niche industry specific for marketing. However, Crushing the Day, Social Media Mastery, and Call the Damn Leads. All 3 of those are books that I've written that talk about the different phases of my journey. And something you said earlier really resonated with me. You'll find that there's people in your life and things that you go through for seasons, reasons, and some are for a lifetime. And what I'm realizing is that a lifetime isn't always like from the moment you're born to the moment you die. Sometimes a lifetime is like a lifetime of a season, of a version of yourself, of a membership, right? A lifetime is a word that gets thrown around a lot, kind of like love. It's about what was your intention behind the word in the moment, because it's real easy to be like, hey man, I love you, I appreciate you, and kind of brush it off. But then there's a difference of being like, hey man, I love you, and right. I love you, and that's for me what I've learned is that, I mean, first and foremost, I'm a husband. I'm a father, I am a business owner, I am a best-selling author, I am a podcast host. I've hosted more than 1,000 podcast episodes personally, appeared on probably 100+, 200+ at this point. It's one of my favorite things in the world to do, is to be able to go out and be that person who said, hey, at one point, I was here. I was 300+ pounds. I was living a life that should have given me all the joy and comfort in the world, because I had all the things I was told I would never have and still didn't have fulfillment. I was married, had a beautiful kid, worked 9-to-5, didn't have to work weekends, right? All my bills were paid. Like, I should have been happy. And yet I still didn't have fulfillment because I wasn't operating in my purpose. And for me, my purpose, what I've learned over time, is that I'm trying to help people dial in their processes so that they can live the life they want to live. Because here's the thing. For me, when I was overweight, the reason was that I wasn't active. I didn't work out. I didn't watch what I ate. I made decisions that made me a fat piece of crap. It made me lazy because of the decisions I made. That was on me. It wasn't on anyone else. I could blame genetics. I could make a million excuses. But the point is, I was making certain decisions. Same thing in my relationship. When I started losing weight and making more money because I made the decision to, you know, go from making $30,000, $40,000 a year, which at one point in my life when I was graduating school as a drug dealer, dropout, almost like barely graduated through school, like I thought the best I would ever be was, hey man, I'm going to get this job selling insurance and I'm going to make 30, 40 grand a year. And like, that's it. But at least I'm not dead or in prison.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, well now I've reached this plateau again where this 30, 40,000 a year, it almost is kind of easy. I don't really feel challenged anymore. I'm not feeling the same fulfillment because, you know, at the time I was selling insurance. And let's be honest, if I'm working my butt off to get you to work with me, and then 6 months later you call and complain because your policy went up $3 a month and there's nothing I can do about it, like, while yes, that's very frustrating, it's $3 a month. Like, why am I catching so much heat about it? Like, you and I both know this is the cost of business and life. But there wasn't it was a very thankless job. Like, I didn't feel the fulfillment there. So once again, on your journey, there are going to be lifetimes for the situation that you're in, and you're going to make a decision to say, you know what, this ain't for me anymore. I'm going to pivot. I'm going to go this route. I'm going to start making this decision in this method. These are the values that I'm going to focus on, because along the way, you start to develop those things, your core values, what's important to you, what's your mission. And I think a lot of people get hung up on the thought that they have to do that forever. But the truth is, at some point, sometimes you got to make a decision to cut someone out of your life. You have to make a decision to cut certain things out of your life, certain decisions, certain actions, certain addictions, in order to become the next version of yourself, to enter that next new season.
Good stuff, man. Yeah, so much of that resonates with me. I come from the been over 300-pound club myself. So, man, that's a whole nother podcast we can shoot on that. But you mentioned something in there that I wanted to go into next was, what are your personal core values?
So for me personally and my family, kindness, generosity, loyalty, and respect. And the reason is, like, you can be kind to everyone, you know, and it's important to remember that sometimes that little bit of kindness could be the thing that changes or saves a life. You never know when smiling at somebody or just being a good person could make the difference between someone taking their life or not. And I know, because I've gotten dozens of messages over the years of doing this and putting it out socially, of like being kind and just putting out a good message, from people that have made those decisions. You know, when you think generosity, that's a biblical principle, right? Like, the more you give, the more you gain. And that's a whole lesson we could get into, and maybe we will at some point. But like, I had to learn to be able to receive, you have to be willing to give. And so many people get stuck in that not willing to give, which is why they're still not receiving the way that they want to. Loyalty, because again, there's a point where you need to be able to be loyal to your family, to the people that you love, to the people who love and trust you, to be their provider, to be the one who takes care of them. That's another conversation between my wife and I that we could get into. And respect, because again, you can respect everyone. You don't have to be friends with them. You don't have to like everything that they're doing, but you can have respect that they have a choice to make their own decisions, whether you like the decisions they make or not. It's on you to respect yourself and decide if you're going to be a part of that or if you're going to make the decision to go a different direction so that you can operate within your own core values.
And respect.
Did I respect?
Oh, you did?
Yeah. You got to respect people's decisions. Yeah. You got to be able to respect their decisions to be them and to have their version.
You kind of cut out for a second, but what I was thinking, man, if we put a stamp on it right here, like, regardless if Drewby has a sales coaching company or selling cars, insurance, or vacuum cleaners, the reason why I always ask everybody, what are your personal mission statement? What are you about? What are your core values? right then and there, this is somebody that I am going to do business with. Because think about that. If somebody said, look, no matter what I'm selling, I'm a kind person, I'm very generous, I'm loyal as the day is long, and I'm going to respect you, that's a servant. Servant leader absolutely defines a servant leader. So when you people, you know, if you want to follow somebody, I love to talk to the younger generation. I hope that the people who listen to this podcast are 20, 30s, our type of people who are looking to level up. Because if I'm, you know, I have tons of things that I think me and my guests and Nick could offer, you know, the audience ahead of us. But the audience who is looking to level up, I know when I started listening to podcasts, it was because I wanted to level up. I wanted to change the inputs into my life so that the outputs would change. So I can listen to, my playlist is crazy, man. I'll go to Tupac, Snoop Dogg, worship music, to Clint Black, to George Strait, whatever. But those are pulling at my heartstrings, my emotions. I've never had a problem with my emotions. But when I talk about my integrity and the integrity of my thoughts, I did that through podcasts, listening to people be vulnerable and lead as a servant leader. And it's not easy to get on here and just kind of spill it all the time. So if you're a young person looking to level up and you're listening to the Prime Mover podcast and you want to be a prime mover, you want to be a person who calls the damn leads, who has core values, surround yourself with people who know who they are. Identity in my mind is what the world lacks. It's like when I meet a guy or I walk in a room, I would say a secular, regular room. Most men introduce themselves like dogs where we sniff each other's butt by saying, hey man, I'm Travis. What do you do for a living? I got no idea who you are. I got no idea what you stand for. I got no idea what you're about. But when I meet Drewby and he says, man, Drewby Wilson, I'm a man of kindness, generosity, loyalty, and respect. I'm a husband, a father, and I've written 4 books, and I'm freaking committed to leveling up. I'm a prime mover. All right, right then and there, I don't care what crayon you're working with that day, I want to rock with you, bro. So young people, establish some core values. Carry around a personal mission statement. When you walk into a room, when somebody says, hey, who are you? That's what you lead with. What you do is secondary to that, man. So I think a lot of men in the world let their vocation become their identity, and that couldn't be far from the truth. That's the low-hanging fruit of grasping identity when you don't really know who you are. And I lived the majority of my young adult life that my vocation was my identity. So I love that, man. The next part I want to go into is, what do you do? I want to know about Call of Damn Leads. I want people to know about what it is that your project you're currently working on, and how can you help our audience level up?
Yeah, so let me give some backstory into how I got to this point, right? So right now, Call the Damn Leads, it is my full-time business. It is a brand as well as a coaching accountability program. We have lots of different products and services available. But it all comes back to, man, I grew up in the streets. I was selling anything and everything I could get my hands on. My mom and I would joke that I was in the commodities relocation business, meaning if you had something you needed, I was probably a guy who could find it for you. You were going to just pay me off a little piece in the middle. Didn't really make a difference how I had to get it. I was just known to be able to get things, right? And well, statute of limitations, we won't go into all that, but that's the point. Like, I've been selling my whole life. What's interesting is that I always hated sales guys. It was one of those things where anytime I'd go out like and I'd get like sold by someone, I'd be so annoyed, and I'd just like countless times in my youth where I was making a little bit of money and I'd go to buy something and I would probably be more educated on the product or service than the person who was selling it to me, and they would do their little slick talk, try to like close me, and I'd be like, I'm not buying from you on principle here. Hold on, sorry about that. Excuse me one moment.
It's all good. Gotta let your dogs bark every now and then.
I got a 110-pound King Corso that thinks she's a lap dog, and you know we're gonna tell the story about the RV here in a minute. But I got a little dog running loose. Anyway, so I've been in sales my whole life, which is what's allowed me to build a business around sales. Because what I learned from selling in the streets, selling cigars and tobacco to business owners and entrepreneurs and guys who worked in factories, and literally spending every week, day in and day out, listening to entrepreneurs and business owners talk about what worked, what didn't work. I was absorbing all of this knowledge from people who were ahead of me, kind of like podcast before podcasting. I would just sit in the smoking lounge and just listen to all the old timers talk. And on Sundays, the Single Malt Scotch Society would come in. So me at 22 years old, I'd be smoking $15, $20 cigars, sipping $30, $50 bottles of scotch with these dudes, and just hanging out and learning, right? And so what I realized early on, my dad wasn't in my life a lot. And when he was, it was like a real up and down situation. So I never really had a good male role model to follow. It was kind of like, hey, man, I don't know. I know what I don't want to be, but I don't know how to become what I want to be. And that's where I kind of learned in my early 20s that these guys who were successful, aka like farther than where I was and kind of where I was looking to be, they were willing to share knowledge if I was willing to shut up and listen. The thing that I want to like reiterate to young people is you think you know it all, and the old timers, they love to talk. You want to get an old timer to share the game with you so that you can really be successful? Don't show up with a whole bunch of things you want to tell them about you. Show up with a whole list of questions you want to ask about them. Don't ever end the conversation with a statement. End every conversation with another question. Hey, man, tell me about this. Well, how did you get into that? What does that mean? Because this is what you're learning, is how to develop rapport. And what you're ultimately going to find is that when it comes to sales, understanding how to get into rapport with somebody and to have them tell you exactly what they're going through and everything that they need you to tell them to feel confident to make the decision they need to make to get your product or service, it's going to change the game for you. But the problem is, a lot of us get the curse of knowledge and we know all of these amazing things and we just want to tell the person everything that we think they should know. But the point is, when you sit back and you ask questions and get to understand where people are in their journey, they'll tell you exactly what they need you to know to move them forward on the board. And that's what I learned at the cigar shop. From there, learned a very good lesson that, hey man, with all good things, sometimes there are seasons and reasons. Ended up getting let go from that position 2 weeks before Christmas, and was like, shit, what am I gonna do now? Which led to an opportunity pops up. One of the customers said, hey, you were a great servant at the shop. I've got an opportunity at the furniture store that I work at. Would you be interested in coming in and talking to the owner? Now, we can't give you full-time employment, but we might be able to do a commission-only thing where you can work through our busy season, at least help you out. Would you be interested? So, hell yeah, I'm interested, man. I don't have any money. It's 2 weeks before Christmas. I gotta find something. So I go in, I do the interview. I don't know anything about furniture, but I know that I'm a hustler and I'm going to do what I got to do to make a buck. So I show up, I sell $100,000+ worth of furniture in the 6 weeks that I'm working there, because I immediately start asking every person who comes in the door, hey, what made you decide to stop in today? And are you looking for anything in particular? And when they would ask me, well, what's the specialty on this? I'd be like, you know what? I don't know. Let me run that up the flagpole to the guys who might have that information. While I'm doing that, is there anything else you need me to look at or to ask about? Because here's another lesson for you when it comes to sales. Too many people try to be the expert in all of the things, and it gives you a false sense of authority, and people can see right through it. People know when they're BSing them. Like, their BS meters are through the roof in 2024 especially, so like, don't try to fake it. If you don't know the information, just be real transparent. Be like, you know what, that's a great question. I want to make sure I get you 100% accurate information. Let's finish this presentation so that if there's any other questions that come up and or you haven't gotten the answer by then, we can make sure that we have a list of things to approach. Does that sound fair? And they're going to go, well, yeah, absolutely. Let's make sure that I don't have anything else I need to know, right? So I sold furniture for a while, sold insurance after that, led me to marketing because I learned, hey, you got to learn marketing to get more leads, to make more sales. Long story short, Call the Damn Leads is the culmination of 20 years of sales experience, understanding that at each phase of the journey in your sales career, whether you're just getting started in sales, you're a small solopreneur where you're starting to do your own thing because you were great at sales for someone else, but you didn't like the way that they ran the business, there are certain systems and processes that I know if you have dialed in will allow you to have a lot more of your time to do the things that you need to do to go and get the result that you want. Because we know how to make money. Like anybody that's on this call right now knows how to make money. You can swing a wrench. I'm sorry, you can swing a hammer. You can turn a wrench. You know how to write up a deal. But the point is, for you to be able to grow and scale, you need to be able to get your time back, because time is the true resource. So what I do is I help people get dialed in on those systems and processes so they have more time to do the things that they want to do, which is ultimately live the life that they say they want to live.
Heck yeah.
That's kind of the long story of how we got there. Sorry.
Would you say that the nuts and bolts of Call the Damn Leads is helping people to take a lead from the generated standpoint, nurture, follow up, and close? Like, what does that look like for the Drewby method of calling the damn lead?
100%. So what I will come in and help you take and build out is know that for every dollar or hour that you put into your marketing efforts, you will have a trackable system and process to turn that into qualified revenue for your business. Because at the end of the day, you're putting out time, energy, money, and effort to generate opportunity for your business, whether you're a solopreneur or you have a whole team. What I do is help you understand that for every piece of thing that you're investing into growing your business, you have a system and a process to track a return on that. And you have a scalable system so that not just you can follow it, but everyone on your team can follow it as well.
All right, so let's play a little game here. You got something you want to ask him, Nick?
Man,
a sales and marketing guy, so I see him over here stewing and writing. So,
nah, man, I'm just taking notes right here. I'm being schooled, staying humble. Nah, I appreciate you coming on board, man, and doing this podcast with us. I just love listening to other experts that really are prime movers in their field, and so I'm just absorbing it all in. When I have something, I'll raise my hand.
So cool. I want to do 20 years in sales. You started off selling drugs and graduated all the way to teaching people how to sell. So in my space, I am selling home standby power generation. Let's just say I just did a video about our average ticket, kind of like unlocking the game. I'm a big believer in, why do we have to have secrets? Like, we live in an area, we live in a country where standby power, I don't care where you live, is going to be important. So like my process is, all right, it's 15 grand. Let's just say all in. You called me, you're interested in it. If I was giving you the product for free or cheap, you'd take it, right? Absolutely. So the objection is the cost. So let's just go straight to battle in that right now. And we try to do a good job of qualifying the lead before we get on site. But I'm a consumer. Drewby is a sales guy, number one sales guy for Gen Gators Power Systems, selling me a $15,000 home standby generator. Let's just role play. Sell it to me, bro.
Well, first and foremost, Mr. Terrible, I want to ask, when you originally decided to send us your information, what made you decide to reach out about getting yourself a generator for home?
Man, you know what? We have some power outages, nothing crazy, but you know, the way the country's going right now, I'm just kind of concerned about, I don't know, maybe there'd be a civil war if we don't get a president that is leading. So I'm just kind of concerned about where the country's going. Everybody's driving an electric car and I don't want to be left in the dark. You know, I got a family and I want to protect them. So that's definitely my main concern.
I 100% appreciate. And the thing that you said to me that really stands out, that's number one, is making sure your family's covered in those situations no matter what happens. Because to me, that's first and foremost what's most important, is protecting my family. There's going to be a lot of things that go on within the government and all these people and all the shenanigans that they're playing. And, you know, that's one of those things why I think it's so important to have preparation in place, which is telling me that you're someone who's really a forward thinker. So that being said, you know, what was the main thing that you were concerned about from those power outages? Do you have a generator currently, or is it a situation where when it goes down, you're just SOL, kind of out of luck there?
Yeah, I don't, man. I don't have a generator now. I've experienced a few power outages, laying in the bed in the middle of the night, looking at my wife when everything goes black and my kids are coming in the bedroom like, "Dad, the power's out." you know, I just want to provide the comforts. But the biggest issue right now I got is I don't know who to trust. Like, I see ads that it costs $10,000. I see people that charge $20,000, and I don't really know how to decipher the who's who. So, man, I typed in, I filled out a lead form, it led me to you guys. And at this point, I just, you know, I want to do it, but I want to know if I can afford it and who should I do business with.
Well, first and foremost, trust is a very, very important thing, because you want to trust that whatever you end up investing in is going to work when things go south. None of it matters if the piece that you invest in isn't going to do the job when we get there. And that's one of the reasons that, as you probably saw when you went online and searched, we're one of the top Google searches. We have 5-star reviews across the board because our clients can trust not only that we're going to get out there and do everything right, but then when in their time of need, the unit is going to fire up and make sure that the AC is kicking so that they're not under them sheets sweating bullets, thinking about how long am I going to be able to make it through this sweaty summer, because, you know, 96 degrees with 96% humidity, them days are not fun when there's no AC. And we know how quick the power grid can go down when everybody's trying to crank that AC. So you're going to be real stoked when you hear the fire of that generator kick on and that AC start whirring again. So now we understand you've been shopping a little bit. You've seen that there's a couple of different variables and some options. Now, I do have a couple of quick questions I want to ask you about your home, just to make sure that the unit we put in place is going to be the right unit to satisfy all those needs. So can you tell me, Mr. Jones, do you have, I don't know exactly what I would have to ask this person. I'm winging it, right? But like, not, you know,
great winging.
Hey, how many TVs do you typically run? Like, what kind of thing, you know, how big is your home? How many square footage? Do you have a location where we're going to be able to set this thing down, because it does need a bit of a stable area? Can you tell me a little bit about the property?
That's perfect. Well, going into that, like, I'm out of the role play now. That's exactly. So we've established need. You've hit some pain points. You built rapport. You created a relationship. And then now we're going to go fact find. So I would respond to that by saying, you know, about 2,000 square foot, man. I have natural gas. I'm total natural gas. So that's probably going to be my fuel source. I got this spot in my backyard where I really want to put it. And I got 2 central AC units. So my research kind of tells me I probably need like a 26 kW. And I know you guys sell it because that's the lead form. But the main thing is going to be, man, I can't understand the price. Some people are cheaper, some people are more expensive. You know, are you guys cheap? Are you guys more expensive? Like, kind of walk me through, why would I pay more for the same service that I can get down the street for less money?
Yeah, you're 100% right, man. And what you're probably going to find is that when you go online and you type in the different units that are available, there's probably 8,600 different prices that are all going to show up. Because some people can wheel and deal a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there. You know, we're a small family-owned business. We're local. And so we have to price everything out accordingly. But we also like to price it fair, because it's not so much the unit. You know, the units are the units are the unit. We have a warranty, and there's a whole process to go along with whatever unit we decide is the right unit for you. But the other part is, from the get-go, you said you want a company that you can trust to make sure that you're in the right situation when things go down. So what I want you to understand is that we're going to go over maybe 2 to 3 different units that I can recommend based on your scenario. I'm going to have some that are a little less expensive, some that are a little more expensive, and I'm going to give you the why, which one has got the value and where I believe personally the reasoning is for that. And I'm going to let you make a decision what's right for you based on what we've decided here today. Does that sound like something you'd be okay with, Mr. Terrebonne?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. If you know what you told me, and I heard you guys were expensive, you know, if it's 15 grand and everybody else is like, you know, 10, am I legitimately paying for you and the company to provide like better service? Like, you got to get through the price thing for me, man. Like, you know, I just, the 15 grand is 5 grand more than everybody else. Like, I don't get the difference.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And a lot of people don't understand the difference, which is why they go with a lesser option. And typically, you want to know what the real difference is. It's going to be the cost of the labor, making sure that I've got my guys licensed, insured, and bonded, so that if they do show up on your property and anything happens, it ain't going to be an issue for you. Because here's the deal. Dude, I can go and get a couple of yoo-hoos off of the street to come and help me take this thing out of the truck and bolt it down. But if you want someone that's actually got an electrician on staff who's going to wire this thing up correctly for you and not have the whole thing fall apart or blow up in your face when you go to kick on both those AC units at the same time because they crossed a wire or didn't make sure they had the right voltages set up, yeah, you could save that $5,000. But how much is it going to cost to have your whole house rewired when the thing blows up?
Dude. Cut. That's like a home run. So, ladies and gentlemen, I can promise you there was no precursor to this conversation. He doesn't even know the details on what I sell. That is 20 years of sales. So if you want someone to help you close, you know, he established relationship, need, hit the pain points. He had a strategy. Didn't even matter what the product was. What he sold was, he doesn't even know the product that I sell. What he sold was us as a service provider. And so when you're buying a, you know, the sales guy who sells for Honda, he doesn't make the car, but he's trying to sell why you should buy the car from him versus go down the road. And that is relationship selling. That is truth-based selling. That is closing 101, because a lot of things that he said matter. And a lot of salespeople buckle under pressure because they don't truly believe in what they're selling. And it's not necessarily a product. We're not a manufacturing company. We're delivering value based on service, technicians, personnel, and a system and process. And that ain't cheap. So, dude, that was killer. I loved it. I'm going to probably get you to come speak to my sales guys pretty soon, because if you can do that without knowing the details, man, you got your plethora of knowledge. So definitely look Drewby up and call the damn leads. But I'm going to roll. We like 45 minutes in, so I'm going to roll through like our rapid fire round real quick. So Blue Ocean Strategy is something that's near and dear to my heart, man. It flipped a switch in me when I read the book. I'm a big Patrick Bet-David fan. Maybe one day I'll have him on this podcast. He recommended a book called Blue Ocean Strategy. And to summarize it, what it is everybody in business or in your market is in a red ocean, like cutting each other up, like constantly downplaying the competition, going after the same customer, doing the same thing. And so what we decided to do was get in a blue ocean, do something completely different. You know, we're very well known for like talking to our competitors, as the world would say, from a, hey, we're a completer, not a competitor standpoint. Let's elevate the industry. Let's unravel the trade secrets and go right into relationship selling. We know that we're more expensive than most of the competition that we are in business with. So there are tons of people in the sales coaching space, tons of people in the CRM space, tons of people in the lead nurturing space, in the marketing space. You know, Nick likes to use a term. People say I'm in marketing. Well, that's like saying I work with water. Like that, there's tons of areas. You know, you could be a lifeguard. You could work on outboard motors. You could, you know, work out in the Gulf of Mexico. Being in marketing is, you know, that's pretty vague. So in your niche, what is Drewby and Call the Damn Leads Blue Ocean Strategy? What do you do different than everybody else that I think would put you in your own, and you can explain what being your own blue ocean?
So what puts me in my own blue ocean, first and foremost, is I'm an outside-the-box thinker. Like, Call the Damn Leads was a joke from a marketing company that I built because I was a sales guy who realized, hey, man, I'm at a plateau, and for me to be able to get to the next level, I got to learn the next phase, which is how do I have more conversations with more people? Because I haven't maxed out my appointments every day. So what's the first thing I got to do? Well, I got to get more appointments. So what's that mean? I got to go out and do marketing, which is how do I get in front of more of the people I need? And then when I filled out all my appointments, it was like, all right, well, how do I qualify them to make sure I'm having the right conversation? So for me, the blue ocean strategy is understanding that if you are a business owner or a sales professional right now, in this very moment, if I came up to you and I handed you 100 people with their credit card out and said, hey, these people all want to buy from you right now, you would crumble. Without fail, you would crumble. Your business would not be able to handle it. Some of you are crazy enough that you take all 100 credit card payments and you would try like fucking hell. And 0.001% of you would figure that shit out and be massively successful. The rest of you would absolutely burn the relationship between me and 96% of those clients, because you're not in a position to be able to grow and scale that fast. So for me, the Blue Ocean strategy is immediately accepting that I don't have to do business with everyone who has a credit card and a Pulse, because they're not all good business. So qualifying who you actually want to do business with, and Travis, you hit this on the nail on the head early on, is like, what kind of core values are you? What kind of person are you? Because inevitably, even if I work at my absolute peak performance, there are bound to be things that are going to come up that are outside of our control. Variables, issues, problems with manufacturers, or maybe the manufacturer just had one bunk unit. Well, if that happens, I don't want our entire relationship to get burned because you were just picking me because it was like the one little thing. Like, no, we are going to be a good fit to work together so that no matter what happens, good, bad, indifferent, or ugly, we're going to see this through to the end. Yep. I don't want to do business with people that get 2 weeks into a conversation and then go, you know what, this ain't for me. I got to get out of here. Like, I don't want to do the work anymore. I really like, no. We're going to get that ahead of time. Because I'm going to know, based on our conversation, that if I ask you to go and do some things, you're going to go and do it. And there may be some things that you hem-haw around or procrastinate about, but that's going to be on me as a coach or as an accountability person to say, hey, listen, you said you wanted this result, and we agreed that these are the things that need to be done to get that result, and you're not doing them. So, like a five-year-old child, what's the consequence need to be here so that it'll be painful enough for you to go and do the thing that you said that you know you need to do to get the result that you keep saying you want in your life?
Beautiful. I think what I'm hearing you say was the sustainability, the longevity, the profitability of your business is protecting your yes. What are you going to say yes to, and what are you going to say no to? If you have a clear definition of that before you start a relationship in sales, you can almost plan the outcome, and then you delay gratification, because relationship selling, you can't identify who your target client is if you don't know who you are. And so leading with core values and identity is going to just clarify who you want to do business with, your avatar client per se. All right, so next question, a rapid fire round is, I'm locked in a room with Drewby. I got 90 seconds and I'm a young entrepreneur and I'm ready to get started. Man, tell me what my next 5 moves need to be.
First and foremost, what's your time worth? You need to get that figured out, because where you're spending your time is where you're getting a return on your investment. And the majority of people I talk to, whether you're young, old, or in the middle, you're not investing your time where it needs to be invested. So getting clear on what your time is worth, first and foremost, is going to get you an idea of where you need to start spending it. I said it earlier, we all know how to make money. Time is the one resource that you can't get back, you can't buy more of, and you don't win in a poker tournament, you don't get a card full of it on your birthday. As a matter of fact, most cards are a joke of, hey, congratulations, knock another one off the list, you're 1 year older. You're that much closer to being dead. So understand that your time is extremely valuable, and if you want to truly maximize in your life, every moment, every minute, every hour is a valuable investment. What are you investing that time in?
All right, you got any book recommendations? But I want you to give me your 3, absolutely, because I think I've read Social Media Mastery. Call the Damn Leads is on my nightstand. And I do like, my book rotation is a spiritual book, and then I guess you could say a business book. So I'm reading a book right now called Fear Hunters by Noah Elias. But after I'm done with that, you read it?
Oh, yeah. So good. Oh,
yeah. So I just started that one. I'm going through that book, and right under it is CTDL, baby, Call a Damn Lead. So give me your 3 book recommendations so our users can go buy them.
I love that. I will shamefully plug my books after my initial recommendations, because I love my books and I have some bias there. But here's the books that have really, truly helped me on a massive level. Number 1, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Again, the sales is nothing more than servanthood.
Dale Carnegie.
Mm-hmm. Dale Carnegie. How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's the important title part. That's the one. You find that. That's the thing, right? And the reason is it's relationship building. You know, what's interesting to me, and what I try to also impart upon sales professionals, is you're not going to do business with everyone that you talk to. I don't care how great you are, how slick your mouth is. There is going to be a small portion of people who just don't like you for whatever reason, their vibe is different. They just don't like you. And that's okay. However, if you do find that you're in a situation where you can help someone, I believe it's important to remember that it's now your duty to continue making that effort for as long as possible. It's like planting a seed. If you decide not to nurture that seed anymore, you're letting it die. Okay. So what relationships are you nurturing and what relationships are you letting die? Because How to Win Friends and Influence People will help you continue to nurture those relationships. Next up, The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. And I recommend reading it and also getting the Audible version because it's got a badass Audible version. It's kind of fun to listen to. It's a short listen. It's like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. It is so valuable to understand that no matter where you are on your personal journey of success, that it's your journey to go on. And that you have to understand that there is a cycle to it. The hero's journey, which is what you're on if you're listening to this podcast, is a process, is a journey. So you need to understand where you are in your journey, and that book can help you get a lot of perspective about what part of the journey you're on. Because when you start to realize, it's like looking at a map. Where are you on the map, first and foremost? You have to get orientation, because once you are oriented, now you know which direction you need to move forward in. And if you're feeling a little bit lost and you're feeling a little bit unsure about where you're at, that book will give you some clarity on going, oh, this is what part of the hero's journey I'm on. I recognize this now, and I can go and do the thing that I know I probably should have been doing and I've been putting off, but it's going to get me to that next part of the journey. So those two, I think, first and foremost, were like, absolutely. They're a little woo-woo kind of, but, I mean, let's just be honest, man. The woo-woo is what makes the world go around. So get on those. And then my three books. First book that I wrote, it's called Crushing the Day, A Simple Guide to Success in Life and Business Through Service to Others. Again, I'll remind you that sales has been my whole life. This is what allowed me to be where I am, but it's all about service. I knew from the moment that I decided I'm going to serve people instead of sell them, it changed my entire life, which is why I can hop on and randomly sell $15,000 generators that I don't know jack all about, because it's just, hey, what am I going to do to help this person solve their problem and serve them to get their service? Crushing the Day. Then the second book was Social Media Mastery, and it's all about how I've built my brands and my business, my personal brand, especially Call the Damn Leads, utilizing social media. These free platforms have millions of users. In your town, there's probably thousands of people who are using it, unless you're in some like weird little podunk town with only 500 people. At some point, they're still using it, so just understand that social media is across the board. And also recognize you don't need all of them to buy from you. You just need a small portion of them. So you can use these free platforms to get out and share your story, your message, and allow people to see who you are, get to know you, get to like you, and then choose if they want to trust you enough to do business together. That's the whole process of sales. Know, like, trust. Social media is a great, easy platform you can use to have those conversations over and over and over, but not actually have those conversations because it's all digital. And then the most recent one being Call the Damn Leads. And that is where I take my 20 years of sales experience. I break it down to, in my opinion, trying to simplify this as much as possible. Here's like you said, man, there's so many gurus and sales trainers and guys out there. And I feel kind of weird and awkward because, again, growing up, I always hated sales guys. Then I became a sales professional. Now I'm that dude that's out there like, hey, let me teach you sales. But at the end of the day, all I'm teaching people is how to serve and how to use these systems and processes to get dialed in and be more effective and efficient. Because the way I sell isn't going to be for everyone. Now, I know that if you'll follow some of the methods and the things that I lay out for you, you're going to have success because I've proven it through case studies and trial and error. But it may not be for you. My goal is that if I, the quote that I got from one of my previous mentors is this. Methods are many, principles are few. Methods may vary, but principles never do. So I try to go back to the principles of, hey, here's how I implement from a foundational standpoint. What you do with it from there is for you. It's like an artist. Let me give you the basics, paintbrush, paint, up, down, canvas. Like, here you go. Go have fun, kid. Now you can utilize what I'm giving you to go and you have a foundation to build from, which is what I want to create, because my version of success is different than your version. And your version is different than what your parents saw for you as their version of your life being successful. So understand that
we're not going to have the same version, but I can show up and give you some tools and resources to help make your version a reality for you. And if I can help you solve enough problems in your life, you'll come back and pay me for the next problem to be solved. And the bigger the problem that I help you solve, the more you're going to be willing to pay for it. Which is why, Mr. Terrabone, when I bring in that brand new $15,000 generator and me and the boys get it hooked up, I'm going to ask that we shut everything down and turn it on once or twice so that we can celebrate what an amazing thing this is. Because when this does go down and Mr. Whoever's in president goes crazy and things get shut down, you're going to be able to look back at our time together and say, hey, I'm glad I spent that few extra dollars and I had those guys out at my property because, man, I'm so sweet that this actually kicked on and I don't have to worry about my wife being pissed because it's hot as hell in our house.
Yeah.
Man, absolutely. I wrote something down that I want to reiterate at the end of the episode, which we're coming up on that now. But, man, you know what? This was a expose, if you will, in sales. And I know this is probably, I'm going to say right now, this is probably one of our best episodes because it actually helps people. It's a practical, tactical way not only to sell. You know, I've heard the term ABC, always be closing. And so whether it's you're selling to your internal customer, you know, you had to sell to get your girlfriend or wife on a date. You got to sell your kids on this is what we're going to have for dinner or vice versa. But always be closing is something that I don't think people understand the practical, tactical ways to live a life where you're always closing and always selling. And there's really a ton of core message and core value in here. But so when I use the term core, I'm a believer. Not many people, I know for sure I've ever come on this podcast and said it, but even on any podcast, the term self-made, man, is thrown around a lot. And I'm not self-made. I know whose I am. The man upstairs created me. And I love the fact that you led the podcast off with, I wasn't in my purpose. So that's kind of how I want to close it. Is there any scripture or something in the Bible that you think would be meaningful to where you live, how you live your life, or that somebody else could take note from a spiritual perspective?
You know, I'm terrible about the like exact scripture side of things,
sure.
But there was, you know, for me, man, I've had a lot of ups and downs in my spirituality and the religious side of life, right? And there's definitely a difference between like religion and spirituality. So
yep.
Like, I'm going to lean on the spirituality side because like success, everyone's version is a little different. For me, one of the conversations that it was a phrase that's been thrown around a lot but really hit home for me was when you're in the right room with the right people having the right conversations, the right things will happen for you. And
yeah.
It's been said to me a lot over the years, right? You are the five people you spend the most time with. I remember I had, you know, a mentor from the insurance game that was like, hey, man, you're a great guy, but you got to get rid of some of these friends that you have because they're not helping you get where you want to go. And I'm like, man, screw you, man. Like, you don't know me and my home. Like, these are my people,
yeah.
Man. Like, you don't know us like that. But he's not wrong. Like,
yeah.
I did move away from a lot of those relationships, and my life has grown significantly because the conversations that I'm having are now the right conversations for the results that I'm looking for. The rooms that I'm in are the right rooms with the right people that can help me achieve those results. And so while it's not a super spiritual thing, I think that there's an energy that exists when you're in a room. And Travis, I know when you and I have that opportunity, when we do get in a room together, there's a different energy. And we're able to open up and be a little more vulnerable about where we are and what we got going on, which is why we're able to get results at that exponential pace. Because most of the time, and this applies in sales too, but most of the time people are just giving you the surface level issue. They're not going deep, which is why they're not convicted to make that decision or to take that action that you need them to take. You got to be able to peel back the onion. And I think, you know, when you're in the right room, having the right conversations with the right people, that's when you start taking the right action, when you start making the right decisions. And so if I could encourage anyone, whether you're young, old, or wherever you are, audit your circle. Look at who you're spending your time with, and are you getting the result that you want? It doesn't make them bad people. It doesn't make you a bad person for having to make that decision, but you have to make that decision. Are you happy where you are, or is there something somewhere, a weight that you're holding on to that's not allowing you to level up to that next level? You don't have to completely cut it out, but you do have to loosen that weight and get it off of your shoulders so that you can rise above. Because it could be that weight that once you cut it, you realize you actually had the strength to carry it the whole time, but you had to cut that relationship for a period in order to become strong enough to take it to that next level. So that's kind of my long-winded answer for you, brother.
Yeah, no, you know, there is scripture that links to what you said, and I was thinking about it while you were talking, and so the two things that I took out of that is, like some people here talk about hearing audible voices from God. I think, you know, everybody has spiritual gifts and ways in which they communicate through relationship, religion and relationship, two different things. You could say you're Catholic, you could be Baptist, you could be all of these different things, but if you don't have a relationship with God, then, you know, it's totally different than being in a relationship, than being in religion. What I mean by that is, when I hear God speaking to me, it's through relationships. It's through people who I intentionally spend my time with, who are going to not only tell me who they see me as, but they're also going to call me out on my BS, because Jesus loved through truth and grace. And so the people closest to you should be people who will love on you and give you grace, but also give you the truth. And so you're never going to get grace and truth if you're in a room that's past its expiration date. You know, sometimes we started off season, reason, and lifetime, and sometimes that's a pruning. Pruning through relationships is tough. It's hard. Nobody wants to do it, but there's growth in it, man. And that would be the next part of the scriptural ties is one of my favorite verses is in John chapter 15, verses 1-7. It talks about pruning. And so growth in life is on the other side of a blade, and most people run from the blade. You know, pruning and cutting is a different thing. And so auditing your relationships and determining whether they add value, they love you through grace and truth, man, that's all the scripture and spirituality I needed to hear from you today, man. So this concretes you as a prime mover. Unless you got anything else, man, I got something I'm gonna spit as we close, but this has been epic, man.
I got tons of stuff, but we only got about an hour or so to record, so.
We're definitely gonna go call the damn leads Drewby Wilson 2.0, because this was really powerful. This is a podcast that I can't wait to figure out what Nick's gonna use as a headline to tag people in. There's a couple of spitfire reels in there, but go ahead.
I just want to make sure we can do another one. Are you willing to do another one? I'm going to put you on camera.
I would love to. Yeah, absolutely. I would love to come back and do another
Committed. Now we'll see if he's a man of his word. Stamped it.
Shit. Hey, man, you ain't got to question me. My word is good as mine, brother.
I believe you, man. I believe you. But I appreciate you, too, for coming. So,
Prime Mover Podcast audience, that was epic. I hope you value it as much as we did. So I asked Drewby in the rapid fire round of questions, give me next five moves for a young entrepreneur. And he started off with quantify your time, value your time. And based on his book recommendations, his core values, and the words he spoke on this podcast, because I took copious notes, the next four are think outside the box. Three, decide who you are, what your core values is, what you stand for, and where you're going. Four is serve people through relationships. And five is call the damn leads. So that's another episode of Prime Mover Podcast. I hope that you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. I got goosebumps thinking about the things that we talked about. This is next level conversations. But for us, this is normal life. So if you want to get involved in normal life, you want to get yoked up with people like Drewby, we'll drop his contacts in the show notes. I bet you if you Google call the damn leads, he'll come up. He goes by Drewby, but his name is Andrew Wilson. So check him out on social media. He is living out of an RV, traveling the country, teaching entrepreneurs what it's like to live a life of integrity, a life of follow through, and that is what sales is all about. So if there's one thing we're gonna say in closing, in life and in sales, you gotta call the damn leads. Thank you for joining us.